You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up tonight at 7, hear intriguing stories about the defining moments in people's lives on this week's edition of Snap Judgment. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, for the next half hour, we'll be using some sexual terms and descriptions. So listener discretion is advised, especially if you're with your young ones. Yesterday, Utah Governor Gary Herbert signed a resolution declaring pornography to be a public health crisis. The resolution called for more education and prevention to keep hardcore pornography away from children.
Our next guest has a similar viewpoint. He's not anti-porn, but he's working to raise awareness of some of the negative consequences of pornography, especially for young people. Gabe Deem is a former porn addict and the founder of RebootNation.org. He's an activist for better sex education. Gabe, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Gabe, let's start with your personal story. How old were you when you first discovered pornography on the internet?
Well, I was first exposed to pornographic images at around the age of 8 with Hustler or Playboy magazine. But internet porn didn't come into the picture until I was 12. And that was around 1999 when my family got high-speed internet.
So how accessible was porn when you were younger? I mean, you had high-speed internet, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, porn was easy to get. But was it easy to get?
Right. Yeah, it was actually extremely easy to get. My buddies and I at school would actually pass pieces of paper back and forth with websites. And back then it was file-sharing sites like Napster, LimeWire, Kazaa, where you could download as many videos as you wanted to, and we would give each other tips on how to hide it and clear our history. So it was surprisingly very easy to access, even back, 15, 16 years ago.
And would you say that easy access is the same today, or maybe even easier?
Oh, it's a lot easier today. If you have social media or a smartphone, you can just go on there and type something in, and within seconds you can see whatever you want. And really the game changer happened around 2005, and that's when YouTube was created. And shortly after that, you had an explosion of porn tube sites that mimic YouTube, where you can have multiple videos streaming at the same time in different tabs. And you can always search and search for more instantly.
I think that for a fair amount of people, the concept of free porn online is very foreign. There's a sense that you have to pay for what you get. And so as long as a kid doesn't have access to, say, a credit card, that there's not a risk. But that's not what you're saying, is it?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's definitely a risk. If you have internet access, any computer savvy kid can get around blocks or find ways to watch adult content. It's not that hard to get around and find.
So, Gabe, when did you first realize that you had a problem with watching internet porn?
Well, for me personally, my porn use was very consistent all through my adolescence, and that's what you'll see is very common in us younger guys that are giving up porn. I didn't realize I had a problem until I was 23 years old, and I got with an attractive partner, someone I really cared about, and I found beautiful and attractive, yet my body couldn't function. And so I went online and searched. I Googled like anyone would do, and I found forums and threads with thousands of guys with the same problem. They had used internet porn for years, and eventually got to the point where they were dependent on porn for arousal and sexual function.
And so what you're referring to is considered to be porn-induced erectile dysfunction.
Right, yeah. We wire our arousal template in our brain and condition ourselves to the point where we are dependent on the novelty that internet porn provides to feel arousal and to function. Yeah.
And so you said that you were a regular user of internet porn. What kind of frequency, say how many hours a day would you say you were watching internet porn?
Right, so there's a misconception of a porn addict. It's not necessarily the duration of time you're watching porn, and it has more to do with the novelty and the shock. So for my my example, I'd say 15 to 30 minutes, no more than an hour a day. But what happened in my case was I escalated into more shocking genres, and I also escalated into needing compilation videos, almost like a highlight tape where the scene changes every 2 seconds to the most shocking parts of porn movies. And that's one of the ways guys can escalate once you become addicted or desensitized.
We're talking with Gabe Deem. He's a former porn addict and the founder of RebootNation.org. He's sharing his personal story of being addicted to porn and how it affected him in trying to have healthy relationships in real life. And he's also an activist for better sex education. So, Gabe, you say that there's a way to know if you are addicted to porn, if it is affecting how you can perform in real life. What is that test?
Right. There's a simple test you can do. A young, healthy man should be able to get an erection on his own, to masturbate on his own without being dependent on pixels on a screen, without needing porn. The reason this rules a lot of things out is because if you can still function with porn, then you know you don't have an organic problem, because simply turning on porn doesn't magically make organic problems disappear. And then also, if you're unable to masturbate without porn, that rules out performance anxiety, which is commonly, you know, told to young guys, oh, it's all in your head, just get some Viagra and you'll be okay. But that rules out performance anxiety if you can't masturbate without porn, because you're not nervous when it's just you and your hand. So that's the simple test that I did back when I was 23, about 5 years ago. And that's when I really opened my eyes, like, oh my gosh, I'm dependent on this to function and I shouldn't be.
And so what was that like for you, realizing that you had developed this dependency when you thought you were just, you know, taking part in something that was kind of a normal part of adolescence?
Well, it was, a whirlwind of emotions. I was frustrated. I was pretty upset that I had no clue that this could even be a possibility. And not only that, but kicking the addiction and habit, if you will, it was tough. I went through anxiety and stress and, you know, borderline insomnia. When you kick a behavioral addiction, usually you see an increase in stress and anxiety, and I experienced that. And normally I'm a pretty laid-back guy. But going through those first couple months, it was rough. I was depressed, and I didn't think I was going to ever recover. You know, when you're in your early 20s, you should be at the prime of your life, energy-wise and function-wise, and not being able to function was, you know, a kick in the gut. So it was tough. It was difficult. But the good news is I learned that you could recover, and I saw other people's success stories, which gave me a lot of hope.
So, Gabe, once you had quit porn, and did you quit completely, or did you cut back, or did you only look at, have one tab open, as you were saying, you know, having multiple tabs open? I mean, did you basically go cold turkey?
Yes, I did. I as soon as I realized what my porn use had done to me, I decided for myself that I was done with it for good. It wasn't easy, but that was my route to recovery, was to stop, you know, reinforcing that behavior that led to my condition.
And so when you did quit porn, you said the recovery period was difficult, but when you kind of got to the other side, what specific benefits did you see?
Yeah, so the benefits are all over the table, and they're pretty awesome. For me personally, it was increased motivation, the ability to feel emotional situations again and to feel intimacy and to actually connect with my partner. The ability to function came back after several months, and that was obviously the most important driver for me in the beginning, was just to get my function back. But all the other benefits, like mental clarity and increased motivation and just feeling connected to real people again, that was, you know, in the end, the most beautiful part to me. Guys might quit, obviously, for the function reason, but we really, you know, when we come out of it, we really understand how much we've been missing out on being so plugged into pixels and disconnected from real life.
We're talking to former porn addict Gabe Deem about why he's trying to raise awareness of the negative consequences of pornography, especially for younger viewers, and we'll be getting into more of the science as well.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, how do you talk to your kids about sex, and how do you help them navigate our sexualized culture? What do you say to them about pornography? How do you deal with this unrestricted access to online pornography? Have you been through an experience yourself similar to Gabe's? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're picking up our discussion now about the negative consequences of pornography. Just a reminder, we're talking about a sensitive topic that might not be suitable for very young listeners.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, what do you do in your home to try to restrict your child's access to pornography? How important do you think it is to limit access to sexual content on the internet? How do you talk to your kids about sex and porn? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Gabe Deem is a former porn addict and the founder of RebootNation.org. He's an activist for better sex education. And Gabe, so let's talk a little about the science. You make a distinction of when you were exposed to static images, like in a magazine, versus the internet porn that you became addicted to. What does science say about why internet porn, why those video images are such an attractive stimulus for the human brain?
Right. So I think the biggest driving factor would be the novelty that internet porn provides. There's a phenomenon called the Coolidge effect, which is describing a neurological mechanism in our brains that basically can override habituation, or to put simply, when we become bored. And it does this by, you know, our brain's natural response to novel or new sexual stimulation. And this is what the internet, and internet porn specifically, can tap into with the ability to click and click and click and always escalate into something more shocking or new. And if you're a heavy porn user, a lot of guys talk about how, you know, they search and search for the quote-unquote perfect scene to finish to. And that is very common with my generation and teenagers, is we're so used to being able to surf the net when we watch porn that the novelty is endless. So we can keep stimulation in our brains up for higher and longer than, you know, that's ever been possible in human history.
But clearly that is not... you can't replicate that in real life with a real partner. So,
right. So
there's this disconnect then in what you've trained your brain to expect and what's in front of you.
Right. Yeah. There's several addiction-related brain changes that can happen. Sensitization is one, which is just a fancy word for a powerful memory or Pavlov's dog-like conditioning, where you have cravings and compulsion to use a certain stimulus that you've been using. So if you chronically consume internet porn all through your adolescence, you're basically teaching and learning that that's where your sexual arousal and your sex drive is going to come from and go. And if you do that, you know, consistently over a long period of time, eventually it can lead to the dependency on that stimulus to function.
Let's go to the phones, and Anna is calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I'm just really glad that Gabe is talking about this, and that we're talking about porn as an addiction. So often it's seen as quote-unquote normal among men, teenagers, young guys. My husband is a addict, and he recognizes that and is getting help as a sponsor and goes to Sex Addicts Anonymous, and that's a really big pillar in his life. But it's so, so hard, and there is so much shame associated, and especially with, like I said, it just being so mainstream and so common.
Thanks for that call, Anna. And Gabe, there's actually some disagreement in the psychological community about whether porn addiction exists, right?
Yeah, there's a couple vocal naysayers. They are the minority from what I've seen as far as the neuroscientists that are studying this. there are now 20-plus neuroscience brain studies, or 10 brain scan studies and 20-plus neuropsychological studies that all show evidence for addiction-related brain changes that have been done on porn users. And even they do disagree, and there's been a lot of reviews on certain researchers' interpretations of their findings. And they all point to the possibility of addiction being a real thing and porn addiction being a real thing from what I've seen. But there are some vocal naysayers, yes.
Thanks for that call, Anna. And let's go to Teresa in Wisconsin now. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I had two things. One, my ex-husband is addicted to porn, and I have a 16-year-old son who's over there all the time, and I'm just scared to death that he's going to get exposed to it. So I would like to ask your guest, what's the best thing I can do to try and prevent that? And number two, there seems to be a lot of money going that direction, and my son is realizing that his father never has money, even though he gets a paycheck every 2 weeks. And he's wondering where all that money goes.
Thanks for that call, Teresa. And Gabe, what would you advise Teresa as the mother of a 16-year-old son that she's concerned about?
Well, I think you got to break it into two parts. One part being obviously teach your child that porn is not how real sexual intimacy occurs. I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing that I think is very important is the brain science, the neuroscience. And a great website to send your teenager to is a site called yourbrainonporn.com. It has lots of informational videos and articles explaining what happens in your brain and explains the reasoning behind the potential negative effects. And I think what was most important for me is just learning what I was doing to myself and what I need to do to stop it and recover was a very eye-opening experience for me. And as a man, you know, I really want to know how things function, especially my own body. So learning that was very important for me. And it had nothing to do with morals or this is good and bad or anything to get a teenager to go, oh, gosh, whatever. It was just very informational. And I think that's what connects with the kids.
Thanks for that call, Teresa. And Gabe, we're talking about having those conversations with children, with young people. I have to say it's hard enough for a lot of parents to have pretty much the most basic sex talk with their kids, let alone even bringing up the topic of pornography. But it sounds like you think it's a pretty important thing to cover.
Yes, absolutely. You know, you'll get different opinions from everyone on what age you should start that conversation. But we know now from some several studies and surveys that the average exposure is 11 years old now. And I would actually argue it's probably younger than that with a majority of kids getting smartphones now. So I think, you know, you need to have a conversation around it, I'd say at 8, or depending on what your parental preference is, not too long after that. And again, you don't have to go straight to the porn talk. I think you can teach a kid what healthy intimacy will look like when they grow up, and then you can get into how the brain works and how it wires up to what you see and what you experience. And then as they get a little older and understand more fancy scientific concepts, you can teach them, you know, what's happening in their brain. But I think as young as possible is the best.
and also, like, school-based sex ed is a pretty, you know, hot-button political issue at times. Is this something you think should be addressed outside of the home in, say, a classroom sex ed class?
Yes, I personally do. I don't think you have to get outside of biological, anatomical, and physiological facts, but I do think that the kids need to be learning about the most important sex organ, which to me is the brain.
And Gabe, what would you say to someone who is currently struggling with a porn addiction now? What would you offer them as someone who has come through on the other side?
Well, you know, there's help out there for them. My step one that I give guys is get educated, learn the science behind what's going on. Step two is get support, join a free online community like the one on my site, or there's several other sites out there. And then there's lots of informational articles and videos on a site like yourbrainonporn.com. And I've myself have made several YouTube videos. If you search Reboot Nation, I got lots of helpful videos just for guys that are getting started, and for women too, because this science applies to women too. It's just not as mainstream talked about, unfortunately. But yes, anyone with an addiction can get help out there.
Well, Gabe Deem, thanks so much for joining us today and for sharing your own story.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think it's an important topic, and I'm glad you guys are covering it.
Thank you. That was Gabe Deem, former porn addict and the founder of RebootNation.org. He's an activist for better sex education, and he joined us to share his personal story about addiction to porn and to talk about the negative consequences of pornography.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.